whoever wants to purchase the real estate in Hungary should be really like 100% clear with their goals first, because either you, I think there's three main options here. Either you want to buy real estate to live in for yourself, to permanently live in, or you want to buy one to maybe partially live in for a time and then rent it out, or you want to buy one that might be in the countryside and you might want to rent it out, you know, for ecotourism or something.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpacked podcast. We are back with season 4, and this season is all about investing in properties in other countries. So I want to chat more about how to purchase a property, how to obtain financing, and things you should know before you consider purchasing in that specific country. So I have a few episodes coming up. And if you have a special country request, just let me know, DM me on Instagram at @laratoalb, and I will go out and find a guest who can come on and share more about purchasing in that specific country. So in today's episode, our guest is all the way in Europe. He is from Germany and currently based in Hungary. So I'll pass the mic to him and he can introduce himself.
Hey, so I'm Till. I'm half German, half Hungarian. I live in Budapest since almost 14 years, actually, off and on. And yeah, I just bought a house in the countryside.
So can you tell us more about why you decided to buy a house in Hungary?
Well, okay, to be honest, there's a little bit of a personal story behind it, because I'm actually half Hungarian, even though I grew up in Germany and I was born there and I lived most of my life in Germany. I always felt like I like to come to Hungary, first for family reasons, but also for visiting friends. And then later I decided to move here because I got some interesting job opportunities. But the other reason, not talking from personal, but from a non-subjective level, I think it's also a great place to live in general. I think for people who want to stay in the center of Europe, in a safe country, with access to a lot of other destinations through the airport, relatively low living costs, I think it's not a bad place to stay.
Yeah, like, to be honest, I didn't know much about Hungary till I met you. And I still don't really know much about, well, I know what I've learned from you and what I've read from the internet. But for people who don't know anything about the country, what's so special about Hungary, and why should we consider visiting or even potentially buying a property there?
Yeah, well, you see, that's already the main reason. One of the main reasons why I think it's good, because it's not as popular as Paris or London or Barcelona. So you don't have all the issues of prices just skyrocketed and all this. I mean, we also had mass tourism here, but it never reached the scale like, you know, in New York City or those super popular places. So it's still a little bit low key, but it's, you know, it's a small country with 10 million people. And Budapest, in my opinion, is the most, I'm just going to say it, I think it's the most beautiful capital city in the world. Probably for me personally, second place would be Istanbul, but I think Budapest is very, very beautiful. And it's very international. So I think if, as an expat, if you want to live in Europe, but you don't want to have crazy costs, and honestly, I think Budapest is worth to move here if you have a home office job or if you have some kind of business that you might want to set up or that you have running already and that you can do remotely in some way. It's a good place because you have low living costs, you have quite high standard of living, and it's part of the EU and it's part of the Schengen zone. But it's still very different from the classic Western European country, especially in terms of costs, living costs.
So speaking about costs, so for example, let's say I want to purchase an apartment or a house that's like 2 bedrooms, 1 bathroom. What kind of prices are we looking at?
Yeah, so here's the thing. To start with this information, the prices went up a lot. So the prices used to be crazy cheap for a long time. And ever since 2017, the prices, especially in the capital, in Budapest, they went up like crazy. I think they went up by 150 to even 200% in general. So having said this in the beginning to start with, they're still way lower than most of Western Europe. So I will tell you, for example, if you want to buy if we're talking about Budapest, let's say we're not exactly in the city center, but in a little bit, let's say some kind of, you know, center, but not really the city center kind of place, then you're looking at an apartment that you would get, let's say 50 square meters, 1.5 rooms or 2 small rooms for around 100,000 euros. Maybe you can even find one still for less, maybe even for 90,000 euros.
Wow. Okay. So that is a bit pricey though, because, well, I guess it depends on where you live, but 100,000 euros is about 1.7 million in South Africa, 1.7 million rands. And in the US, it's about $120,000. So I do understand that that is a bit cheaper in Europe compared to, like, if you wanted to buy a house in Ireland or if you wanted to buy a house in Paris, then it's probably more than that. But yeah, speaking about Hungary, what are your plans? So do you want to stay there long term? Because I know you like traveling. So have you made any plans, or like, do you kind of know where you want to end up in the long term? And what's your plan with your property?
Yeah, so here's the thing. To start with this information, the prices went up a lot. So the prices used to be crazy cheap for a long time. And ever since 2017, the prices, especially in the capital, in Budapest, they went up like crazy. I think they went up by 150 to even 200% in general. So having said this in the beginning to start with, they're still way lower than most of Western Europe. So I will tell you, for example, if you want to buy, if we're talking about Budapest, let's say we're not exactly in the city center, but in a little bit, let's say some kind of, you know, center, but not really the city center kind of place, then you're looking at an apartment that you would get, let's say 50 square meters, 1.5 rooms or 2 small rooms for around 100,000 euros. Maybe you can even find one still for less, maybe even for 90,000 euros.
Nice. I like that. I feel the same way. Like right now, I don't want to live in a city. I like the city, and I like everything that comes with living in a city. But then there's also other things which I don't like the noise, the traffic.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially if you're not 18 years anymore and you're not, you know, you don't like the hustle and the bustle of all this crowded place.
Yeah, I would definitely, like right now, if you asked me 5 years ago, I would have said, no, I'm going to live in the city forever. But right now, I'm over city life. I'm actually over normal life. I see myself living on, I see myself living on an island. But you know what's the thing about like moving to an island and moving to a different country? It's just, yeah, so the thing is, there are certain things that I missed about living in a proper city. So like, for example, the healthcare, the infrastructure, there's just certain things about living in the city that you don't get. But I guess it kind of depends on what your long-term needs are. And if I had children, for example, I'd have to think about things like school and university and stuff like that. But yeah, speaking about Hungary and Budapest, so I was researching if foreigners can purchase in Budapest, because after I spoke to you and you told me how amazing it is, I was like, okay, let's look into this country. And I read that yes, foreigners can buy. Even if you're not from the EU, you can still buy. And I think a lot of people don't know that, because not a lot of people know much about Budapest, like if we had to be honest. So I want to talk more about like the purchasing process. So I know the purchasing process is similar or like different in some countries, but do you want to share more about your purchasing process? So for example, I have a podcast episode where I shared about my purchasing process in South Africa, how I went to a bank and the bank wouldn't give me a mortgage or home loans because I didn't work in South Africa, so I've never like accumulated credit and I didn't qualify at the time. So I want to know more about like Budapest. So how do things work there? Let's say I don't have money. Let's say I'm a resident or a foreigner and I don't have money. Is it possible to get a loan from the bank? How did you do it? And do you have any tips for someone who wants to finance a property in Budapest or Hungary?
Yeah. So the thing is, there's a way for foreigners to buy, especially for non-EU foreigners from most countries from all over the world to buy real estate in Hungary. To be honest, I don't have the exact data here now, but I think if I remember correctly, something around the scale of 150 to 200,000 euros is there's a minimum money that you have to deposit onto a Hungarian bank, and you basically you can use the biggest amount of it to invest into real estate, whether it is renovation, whether it is like buying real estate. The thing is, as a foreigner, you have a certain amount of money that you have to invest here, and actually it can be a business as well. But I'm saying if you buy an apartment here, I think around the range of 200,000 euros, something like this, maybe even 150, then you can also apply for residency permission. There's different categories. There's one for just investors who are actually not here, but they just want to get it as an investment and rent it out. And then there's another category for people who want to live here, and there's a process to get a residence permit. This is for people from outside the European Union. So for me, to be honest, it was a very simple process because I'm a German citizen. Now I actually applied for double citizenship because now Germany allows it. Previously, unfortunately, they didn't. Yeah, very nice. I don't know why they didn't, but now they do it. So for me, it was quite simple because EU citizens are allowed to buy any kind of property except agricultural land. That's forbidden. For that one, you need to be a Hungarian citizen, unfortunately. But any other real estate you're allowed to purchase as a foreigner.
Nice. Okay, I didn't know that. So, what have you learned though? I want to know what mistakes did you make and what? Because I remember when you bought your property, you kind of scared me, if we had to be honest. Because, because you messaged me and you said you saw a place that you liked. And then all of a sudden, the next day, you were like, you bought it. And I was like, flip, he's making the same mistakes as I did. Because I did that. That's exactly what I did.
Really?
Because that's exactly what I did. So I saw a place and I liked it, and the next day I went with my mom to see it, and then I signed the papers. And after doing all of that, I've learned so much that I should have done before all of that. So I'm hoping people learn from my mistakes and people. So I want to know what challenges have you had? What are you doing now with your property?
Well, honestly, I can't tell you if that was a mistake or not. Maybe I think in 2 or 3 years you'll find out. Well, I think you have a very good point there, because usually people say you shouldn't buy real estate just out of an irrational emotional mood, right? I mean, probably that's true for most cases. But to be honest, I don't know. I kind of just always listen to my feeling. I can't tell you for sure if it's a mistake or not. I think we'll find out very soon. But the thing is, this kind of real estate, I've been looking for a countryside house in a certain area of Hungary, okay? And that area, so I told you previously we don't have access to the sea, but there's one of the biggest lakes in Europe. I think it's the second or third largest lake in Europe. It's called Balaton, Lake Balaton. You can check it online. There's a lot of video, YouTube blogger material. It looks like a sea. It's basically like a seaside. It's a very big lake, and I wanted to buy a house somewhere not too far from that area, like not directly in that area because that area is really expensive. But let's say I told myself I want to buy a house that's in the proximity of, let's say, maximum 35 minutes driving or something like this. And my parents actually bought a house more than 10 years ago in a tiny village in a very remote red wine area, which looks a little bit similar to the Tuscany in Italy. It's a very beautiful area. There's a bunch of national parks, a lot of wineries, and it's very remote. And I wanted to look for something that's in between the lake and the village where my parents live, which is like 2 hours south of Budapest. So I came across the city, which I happened to just really like the first time I was there, because they have a thermal bath, a really big thermal bath. That's another big advantage of Hungary, by the way. It's one of the countries with the highest density of thermal baths in the whole world, probably next to Japan or something. Because literally every province you go to, every area, there's thermal baths. Like you just can't avoid them. They're like almost, we have hot springs everywhere. So it's really nice. It's really nice. And especially summers are hot here. Summers are very long and warm, but winters are also quite cold. They can be, it depends on the year. So in the if I get stuck here in the winter, I always said I want to be next to a thermal bath. So you can go to the sauna and
Nice. So wait, hold on. So last winter you were stuck in Europe, right?
I didn't plan to, but because of the COVID situation.
Because so the previous year you were gone, because that's when I met you in Asia.
Exactly. I was also in Bali just like you, and I know.
Yeah, and then the next year you were stuck in Europe and I was stuck in South Africa. So right now it's winter in South Africa, and honestly, I don't know if I can do another winter because usually I always chase summer. So when it's summer, I'm in South Africa. When it's winter here, I go abroad. And
Well, it's the same for me. That's what I used to do. Exactly.
yeah. No, I hear you. So I want to know more about, you told me that Hungary has like a huge wine country and a wine culture, which I didn't even know about. So can you just share more about that? Because I was thinking, so if somebody, let's say me, for example, I had a bit of money saved and I wanted to invest in a vacation home and turn it into some kind of tourist thing where I involve wine, because wine is like one of your main selling points in the country. So can you just share more for people who don't know about the wine country? So what kind of wines are available? Which one should we try? Because I didn't know, like to be honest, I learn new things from people every day. So like Hungary, I didn't know anything about the country until I met you. So yeah, let's just share more.
Well, that's the good thing about it. It's always good to find out unexpected stuff from people, no? I mean, I'm always surprised about these kind of things myself. So basically, I mean, the wine culture here, it's very old. It goes back to the ancient Roman times. In fact, there are some wine growing areas that have been growing wine ever since 2000 years without ever stopping. So in these regards, it's very similar to Italy. The thing is, we have very unique varieties of grapes that you don't find anywhere else in the world. So most wineries nowadays, they also grow, the famous French kind of wines like Cabernet Sauvignon, like Chardonnay, those kind of wines. But in general, we have some very specific wines that you won't know and you won't find them anywhere else. And I think the most famous one, the really famous wine from Hungary that everyone knows and that you can buy everywhere in China and Japan and America, that's the wine called Tokaji. I'm pretty sure you'll find that in South Africa in some very high-end delicacy stores or something. That one is very unique because it used to be the most famous and favorite wine of the French King Louis XIV and things like this. It's basically, but that one is basically a rather sweet wine, which is very, very distinctive, which has a very different taste from any other wine. It's a volcanic. It's a white wine that's been grown in volcanic soil, and they have a very special fermentation process. I don't want to go too much into details, but some of these wines, they are being sold on auctions like for, I don't know, almost $1 million or so. I mean, it's crazy. They have some bottles that are 600 years old and things like this. But to be honest, for me, I'm less interested in that one because that one is just super famous. I'm more interested in the less known wine regions, and there's a lot of developing wine regions. And basically, we have two or three main red wine areas in Hungary that are very famous for red wine, and then we have another three or four big white wine areas. So it's pretty divided because we have a lot of microclimates here. The north you know, the north is very lush and green and foresty, but they have a lot of volcanic soil because there used to be a lot of volcanoes in the past. So in that area, they have both red and white, and very specific ones. But I think they're more a bit similar to French wines, let's say from Burgundy or something like this. They're a bit lighter, sometimes a little bit more acidic, more floral. And in the south, we have more heavy, earthy wines, if that makes any sense. Maybe a little bit more similar to Greece or southern Italy or something like this.
Wow, that is so amazing. So Hungary sounds like the ultimate destination in Europe because it's literally in the heart of Europe. So it's close to Austria, it's close to Romania, it's close to Croatia. There aren't that many people, like 10 million is not that many people in one country. And I personally, I love the location. I love that there's a lot of wine and wine countries, and it's also affordable if you're not earning in like the local money. So if you are able to earn in other currencies like euros and dollars, then you can slightly have a bit of a comfortable life. That's what I'm picking up from this conversation. But wait, we didn't even actually go into detail about buying in Hungary. So how does it work? What is the process of purchasing a property there? And we did talk more about like whether foreigners can purchase in Hungary or not, which the answer is yes. So both EU and non-EU citizens can purchase a property in Hungary. And I'll put more details in the blog post, but basically you can purchase as a person or you can purchase as a company. And yeah, I just want to know more about like your process. How did you purchase, and like any tips for dealing with financing and banks and stuff like that?
So if you have a bank in Hungary, you go to your bank and you ask them, you tell them, I want to buy this apartment for 120,000 euros, let's say, but I only have 40,000 euros, or maybe I only have 30,000. Can you give me the rest in the loan? And they either approve or they don't. It really depends on your salary, on your income. Usually they ask you for a statement of the previous 12 months, for an income statement, you know. So usually they just want to know if you work at all or if you have a business and what's your income. And for example, me, because I always worked as a freelancer for the last 7-8 years, I never worked as an employee. So, you know, for me, there were months where I earned quite a lot of money, and then I had several months where I maybe don't earn any money, you know. So I actually talked with the same for you. So I went to the bank 2 years ago, actually. This was 2 years ago, and I asked them, and they said, well, in this case, we have to take the last 12 months, and we need to see the average income. So, you know, so they just take an average. Same, yeah. Exactly same. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't qualify for too much either, to be honest.
Same. Because for me, I don't qualify for anything inside. Like, you know, in the US, because I had a full-time job, things were easier because I could qualify for things. And also, I feel like the world needs to change because you know how life is right now. We're moving into a whole different type of economy, like life in general. Things are just not the same as they were 30 years ago. So banks need to adapt because a lot of people don't have full-time employment. A lot of people, they are freelancers or they work in spaces where they don't earn the same amount every single month. So banks need to adapt because a lot of people would like to own homes. A lot of people would like to purchase cars or like get credit, but they don't qualify because banks have like an old school way of thinking. But yeah, I don't really like that about banks. And also another thing that I learned is that in the US, I feel like things are easier in the US because in the US, even though, okay, well, I had a full-time job when I was there, but there's other people who I know in the US and they are able to get mortgages, but they don't have a full-time job and they run a business or they are freelancers. And it's not as complicated as it is in South Africa. Because in South Africa, basically, if you don't have a full-time job, it's really hard to do anything. Unless like your business is making millions.
So in South Africa, so from what you're telling me in South Africa, it really seems the banks there have a very conservative old way, kind of outdated way of thinking, you could say.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely.
I think Hungary in a way is the same, but I think it's changing these days a little bit. And there's also some new banks now that are simply doing everything online, and I think they have a little bit of different way of thinking. But unfortunately, the majority, I would say, is still the same as in South Africa. So the thing is, in the US, they are quite flexible. I think in Hungary they used to be super flexible, and this had a bad side as well. They used to give loans to everyone previously, even if you had a very low income, and you said like, I want a loan for $500,000 or something, maybe they will give it to you. But we had the economic crisis in 2008. Ever since then, the banks became super strict, and they want to see a lot of bank statements, and a lot of they have to do credit ratings, and because a lot of people in the past they took really high loans and they could never pay them back. That was the other issue here.
So I want to ask another question about Hungary because I don't know much. So I read that from like the number of foreigners who've purchased homes in Hungary, Germans are like the mo like number one, and then after Germans it's Chinese and then Romanians. So I want to know about like your expat culture. Like, are there a lot of
You did a very good research. Yeah. Yeah.
Are there a lot of expats in Hungary? And also, let's say I'm a foreigner and I want to move there. Would it be hard for me to find work? So how do things work there?
Yeah. So there are quite a lot of expats in Hungary these days, which wasn't the case, let's say, 20 years ago. So this is a quite recent development since I would say really started over the last 15 years. It's very international, especially Budapest. The city is very, very international. It's very diverse. You have people from all over the world, from South Africa as well. You have a lot of people from South America, from Africa. You have a lot of Chinese, and a lot of Europeans, of course. So it's very diverse. The thing is, the countryside. It really depends where you go. There's areas with a lot of expats living in the countryside as well, especially the lake I mentioned earlier, the Balaton, around that area, south of that area. And there's a lot of Germans living there, like you said, a lot of Germans. Most of them are early retirees, retired people, or people just simply working from home office who are sick and tired of the expensive living costs in Germany or Austria, even. Or Switzerland is another example. I just met some Swiss people.
I want to move there, hey.
You want to move to Switzerland?
Yeah, I know it's crazy expensive, but I just want to move there for like a few months and see what life is like there because it looks so nice. But it's expensive, right?
Well, the landscape is beautiful in Switzerland, and no doubts about them. If it's crazy expensive, and I recently met a bunch of Swiss people, actually in the south of Hungary, in the village, in that area, not in the same small town, but in the area where I have my house, and they're really desperately looking for houses there. They asked me if I can help them, and they offered to pay me commissions, all kinds of things. They just want to find a house in a good shape, because they basically worked for the last 30 years or something, 40 years in Switzerland, and they're people who just want to work half time or just don't want to work at all anymore. They have money. That's the thing. They have money, and if you earn money in Switzerland and you come to Hungary, I think you can buy a whole village here, more or less. So it's yeah, you can become a mayor. Yeah. Yeah.
You can like be comfortable because I have another friend that I met in Bali. There's this guy that I met in Bali and he was working in Switzerland and now he bought a house in Greece. And I'm like, where do people just get money to be buying houses in Greece? But yeah, I feel like Switzerland is one of those countries I wouldn't mind living in for a few months because I know it's crazy expensive and you need to be earning a lot to live comfortably as well there. So, but I would still like to like live there for a while and just experience life in Switzerland because everything seems functional there. Like, I also think, you know what's my problem that I realized in these past few weeks? I like living in dysfunctional countries. I mean, like,
You like living in dysfunctional countries. Well, then you won't like Switzerland. Yeah.
yeah, because okay, well. Exactly. That's why I'm like, I need to move to a place that's functional. Then maybe it'll like reset my life. Because, okay, fine. I grew up in South Africa and we have our problems. And then I moved to Turkey. And when I lived in Turkey, it was like at peak madness. Like, there were bombings. Well, there's still madness there, but it's a bit better now.
Did you feel that Turkey is a functional country overall?
No. Hell no. It's like South Africa. So Turkey's not functional at all. But so I lived in Turkey, then I left Turkey and I went to the US. US, I feel like they like to pretend that like they are okay, but they really not. And after leaving the US as an island, that's a bit functional, but it was like too outdated for me, if that makes sense. Like, I felt like South Africa was more advanced, like things were moving and things were happening compared to island. It was like a small town, which I didn't really like, because I'm not really a small town person. Because yes, I like small towns, and yes, I like islands and everything, but I just can't be trapped in a small town my whole life. Like, you know, in Ireland, even when you go into Dublin, and Dublin is like the capital city, you still feel like you're in a small town. Like here in South Africa.
Yeah, Ireland is like a small town. It's beautiful though.
Yeah.
I know. I've been there. Dublin was the last place I traveled to before the first COVID lockdown. So yeah. I agree with you. Dublin feels like a small town, definitely. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I remember you in Dublin. Cause here in South Africa, you could be like in the farm side, or like in like Pretoria, for example. It's a major city, but like there's different parts of Pretoria, and I can go into like the cities, or I can go into Joburg, and you can tell the difference. But in like in Ireland, it was just like country life, which I did not like. I loved the country and people were great and everything, but I just didn't like that. So for me right now, I don't know where I'm going to live permanently, but hopefully I'll know soon. I'm hoping.
Well, see, I love Turkey as well. You know that already. So, but the thing is, if you say Turkey is a non-functional country, for example, and Switzerland is a very functional country, I think Hungary is somewhere in between, to be honest.
You know what's the thing about Turkey? Turkey is like South Africa, basically, because...
It depends where. In some areas in Turkey, I had the impression it's more modern than most of Europe in certain aspects. It depends.
Well, I guess it depends on where you go in Turkey as well. But Istanbul is not the city for you to think about living in. Do not live in Istanbul. I was there for a year and it was chaos. I would not live in Istanbul again.
Istanbul is very stressful. I think it's beautiful to visit, but not to live. I would probably move somewhere to the seaside, to Bodrum or to Fethiye or some place like this.
Yeah, or like Marmaris or Izmir. Yeah.
Yeah, Marmaris, exactly. It may be even Bursa, but not Istanbul for sure.
Yeah, I love Bursa. I love Bursa so much.
Bursa is very beautiful. Bursa is my favorite city in Turkey. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, so speaking about Turkey, we recently had a conversation where you were telling me you're thinking of visiting, because I know most Europeans right now, people are traveling. So when are you going to Turkey? Do you still have plans to visit, potentially buy property there?
Well, I hope I'm going in 2 weeks already, but I'm always saying this. So no, this year I'm definitely going to Turkey. Turkey accepts the vaccination certificate from Hungary, which I'm very happy about. So I think we don't need to do PCR tests, and I can just enter and exit whenever I want. So simply for that reason.
I'm honestly jealous. I have never been so jealous in my life. It's summer there, you're going to my favorite country while I'm in South Africa and I'm freezing cold. But yeah, I guess I'll watch your stories and I hope you have a great time. But yeah, speaking about small towns, when most people think about Hungary, they think about Budapest. So what are some other towns and cities we should be looking at when thinking of relocating or purchasing an investment property there?
So in Hungary, one thing is very extreme. There's a lot of small towns and there's one really big city. And the one really big city is Budapest. Yeah? So if you're in Budapest, you'll definitely not have the small town feeling, because it's a metropolitan city. It's a big city with a lot of things going on. A lot of, you know, life here really happens 24 hours. It's not like most of Western Europe. Like, your shops are open 24 hours. Things are happening 24 hours. There's music festivals, all kinds of things. You have a lot of thermal baths. You have a lot of universities, a lot of places. So Budapest is the one big city. And then the rest of the country is mostly small cities. there's two other cities. One is in the south, it's called Szeged, and there's another university town in the east, it's called Debrecen. They're also nice cities, but I think if you consider Dublin to be a small town, then I think you would consider those ones to be really small. So I think Budapest is the only really big city. If you're looking for the big city life and the cultural life and all this, then Budapest is the one main place. If you're looking for the small town life, there's a lot of options. There's a city called Pécs in the south of Hungary. It's very beautiful. It was the cultural capital of Europe even. But I'm saying those places are rather laid back and quiet and places that are mostly about wine and nature and things like this.
So any final words for someone who's thinking about purchasing an investment property in Hungary?
Yeah, so here, for this question, I would basically say that it really depends on your goals. So I think whoever wants to purchase the real estate in Hungary should be really like 100% clear with their goals first. Because either you, I think there's three main options here. Either you want to buy real estate to live in for yourself, to permanently live in, or you want to buy one to maybe partially live in for a time and then rent it out. Or you want to buy one that might be in the countryside and you might want to rent it out, you know, for ecotourism or something like this. So I think if you want to buy for yourself and if you want to live in the countryside, then I suggest you just come here and you just stay here for a couple of weeks and just drive around and really have a look at a lot of different regions in the country and then decide which one you really like. Yeah. If you want to buy in Budapest, I think the city center is a very good place for investment. So you buy a flat, let's say 1.5 or 2 room flat somewhere in a central location, you can rent it out really well to international students, for example. I think that's a good long-term investment. So it really depends what you want. For me personally, I bought this house in the countryside because I like the area, but I'm the same as you, I think. I can't imagine permanently living in a small town, you know. I like to spend a few weeks there every now and then, but I can't imagine permanently staying there. So for me, the idea is I want to renovate it and then rent it out for ecotourists, because there's a lot of national parks and a lot of activities, biking roads, hiking roads, and things like this around. And wine. I have a wine cellar. I have an old wine cellar which belongs to this garden. So I also want to renovate the wine cellar, and I also want to do some wine tastings there. And I want to do this seasonally. That's my plan.
Ooh, wow. Okay, I'm definitely coming. I am planning a trip after getting vaccinated. That's my first destination.
You have to come. You should be the first guest.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming. Wow, it's actually really exciting how you went from I'm going to view a place and now you have all these plans, and I'm excited to watch everything unfold and I really can't wait to visit. Thank you again so much for taking the time to chat to us today, and I really learned a lot about your country because I did not know about Hungary at all till I met you. So I'm so glad we crossed paths, and yeah, thank you again so much. Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website www.unpack.co.za to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.